Musicals taught me everything I know. We're going to talk about musicals. We're going to talk about things we learned. We're going to talk about fun stuff like musicals.
And stuff.
I think I've covered it. My name is Miranda Selwyn, and I'll be leading you through the episode today with my friendly co-hosts.
Zane C. Weber.
Julie Eisentrager.
Where is KB? I miss her.
She's having family times.
Oh. Sounds awful.
I'm sure her family delightful. Does appreciates her time.
Anyway, we have replaced her with a special guest today. I'm not replaced permanently, just for today, just for now, to talk about one special show. It is
Carly Skelton. Hi.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
Brilliant, as always.
What show have you brought to us today?
Today we're going to be discussing Beautiful, the Carole King musical.
Beautiful, semicolon. No, yeah. Full colon.
Yeah.
Semicolon.
Semicolon. Oh. It's disappointing.
Grammar is hard. It's
I wanted a whole colon. Anyway.
Okay, well, weirdness aside, how are you going,
Carly?
It's the
second record of the night, so it's going to be like this, guys.
Really, really, really good. I'm so stoked to be here and to talk about this amazing musical.
We're going to talk about Beautiful in a few moments, but first we're going to talk about Beautiful Carly.
Okay.
In our Getting to Know You quiz.
I'm so glad you did that.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yes. Which musical character would other people compare you to?
I've actually asked a few people because
I enjoy someone who does their research.
Yes, yes. So I've had a few people throw Mama Morton at me and I was like, yep, cool. Not even mad.
Matron Mama Morton.
Yes. And Nancy from Oliver was mentioned as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
And Madame
They're
Tenardier.
They're not very similar characters.
No.
Mama Morton and Nancy.
No.
They're like, sorry, oh, because you're a badass, but you have a heart of gold. I'm like, oh, thanks, friend. Yay.
Aw, that is sweet. And sorry, the third one was?
Madame Thénardier.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we shan't talk to that person anymore.
So, speaking now from an aspirational perspective, which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Look,
if they knew the true you, it's inside Carly.
It's a bit weird, but Mrs. Lovett from Sweeney Todd.
Oh my.
Because, like, she's a woman who knows what she wants and she knows how to get it done.
And what she wants is to feed people to other people.
Yeah. Well, she wants to make money.
If you have goals, go after them.
Yeah.
She wants to succeed in feeding people to other people.
And then, like, live on the seaside and have, like, a jolly retirement.
Yes.
Mostly.
And every now and then dispatch with one of their guests.
Yeah, yeah.
And feed them to their
one
other
guests. One that doesn't have, like, a big family or
anything. I don't know that you're really seeing the character what it is, Zane, but interesting to note about you, Carly. Thank you.
Never accept food from Carly.
Slightly scared now.
It may be a friend of yours.
What is your dream role?
It's honestly, it changes all the time, but at the moment
I know
it's
the feel.
Persephone from Hadestown.
Nice.
Hey.
Yes.
Oh man, I could rock the heck out of that role.
You'd be so good, Persephone.
Yeah. I don't feel that I'm sexy enough, but like acting, so it's fine.
But I also, mean, yes.
Sexy. I mean, that's the thing. Persephone is such a broad character. Like, you can play her in so many different ways.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think you need to be, like, incredibly sexy. Like, you just need to be really personality.
Can we stop just brushing over the fact that Carly Skelton is, in fact,
well, that's
sexy?
When
sexy is a state of mind, lies. Carly.
Yeah, no,
I think
that's true.
When Carly says she's not sexy enough for the role, I think Carly is not imagining what sexiness in that role could be.
True. Mm. Well, you know, cast me and then we'll see.
Please. I'm going to be Hades, so.
Yes.
I'm working on my lower register.
We did already in our Hadestown episode.
commit to the rights. We're just waiting for somebody I'm on the with the rights too. To also commit to us having them.
Let's do it.
What is your favourite Sondheim show?
Oh, Company, hands down.
Company.
It's the best.
Company's that's really working its way up the
familiar.
Ranks.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Into the Woods is no longer the clear winner.
Wow.
I've only ever done one Sondheim show. That was
it Company?
No, funny thing happened all the way to the forum.
I love that show.
Oh, but I hate telling people that I'm in it because it takes a month to say what show you're in.
What were your funny thing? Oh, I've gone bored and walked away. Yeah. What is your go-to shower song?
It honestly depends what show I'm in at the moment.
What show are you in at the moment?
Next to Normal.
Yeah, lots of fun shower tunes in that.
Yeah, not really. So, I mean, at the moment it is I Dreamed Dance from Next to Normal. Or I've been singing a lot of Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. They're an American blues soul group. Their music is so good. It's really good.
I have to look that up.
It's good for an alto to sing too. It's got a bit of guts.
A bit of guts.
Yeah, I like it.
Here we go. I'm so scared. We've had a few shocking answers to this question lately. So
you all are going to hate me.
I hope that you're not going to devastate anyone at the table. You have to delete one musical from existence. What is it?
Rocky Horror. Delete.
Ooh. Movie, stage show, both.
All of it.
The whole thing.
It's the worst. Yeah, I know. I told you were going to hate me.
No, I accept that. Like, it's a weird musical.
There is a reason. My mother played Frankenfurter in her 20s, and I've seen the photos. Oh. So, yeah, absolutely not.
Huh. Yeah. We just need to erase
that's
that.
A thing.
I'll show you the photos. It's
maybe
hilarious.
Just erase that production.
Yeah.
I don't want to see those photos.
We'll just put them up on our Facebook, won't we? Yeah, that'll be nice. Fake just put Carly's. No.
Why would you have a fake mustache?
He's
a cross-dresser.
Yeah.
You're Victorying the wrong.
I know.
It's very Shakespearean, you know.
I'll dig out the photos and I'll send them through to you guys.
Wow.
Sorry, Mum.
We won't post them on our social media.
No, I will.
I'll give you the password.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. Okay. Well, that is the last question in the quiz. Congratulations, Carly. You've won.
What'd I win?
Brand
a
new
slow clap
car.
From me.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yay. I'm so blessed.
Yeah, we're going to go with Julie's because we can afford that. Okay. Well, let's have a rest.
Good. I need it.
Recuperate. The shock of losing one of the greats, the Rocky Horror.
Sorry.
And then we're going to talk about Carole King and Beautiful. Okay, so we are here to talk about Beautiful, the Carole King musical. It's a jukebox show, probably with Carole King music in it, I'm guessing.
A little bit, yeah. Mostly,
what can you tell
but
us
also
about
other
it?
Songs. So, yeah, it is a jukebox musical. So, that basically means it's lots of other songs that have already been written. The musical itself was written by Douglas McGrath. And interestingly, he also wrote Bullets Over Broadway and the movie Emma. The musical tells the story of the early life and career of Carole King using songs that she wrote with Jerry Goffin and other songs as well by like Barry Mann, Cynthia Weil and Phil Spector. So all of those of that time period and they all
which
worked together.
Which time period are we talking here?
So like 60s, 70s.
Yes.
And the musical does feature a lot of other songs from 50s, 60s, 70s. So in one of the earlier songs, so it's the 1650 Broadway medley, there's lots of different songs that weren't written by those, but it's kind of songs that were popular at that time. It's a
influences.
Yeah,
early
that kind
on.
Of thing.
Yeah.
It fits in really well with the show. So Beautiful premiered at the Curran Theatre in San Francisco in October 2013. It very quickly transferred to Broadway. It's at the Stephen Sondheim Theatre. They transferred in January 2014. It's still there today. So it's still playing today. The West End production started in 2015. US, the first US tour launched in September 2015, and there's a second US tour happening now as well. So that started in September last year.
Seems to be how it happens these days.
Yeah, they're like, go, oh, that went well. Let's do it again.
Just do more, add more.
Yes. And the Australian tour was 2017, so it started in Sydney and then moved to Melbourne and then came to Brisbane and then it finished in Brisbane. March 2015, it was announced that Sony Pictures would be bringing the musical to the big screen, which is very exciting. So Douglas McGrath, who wrote it, he is a screenwriter. So he's going to be adapting the book into a screenplay, and stage producer Paul Blake is going to produce through Tom Hanks' company, Playtone. So haven't really heard anything about it lately. So I hope that is still a thing that is happening.
Yeah, it hasn't been given a release date or anything.
Yeah, well, they haven't cast it, but I mean, I would love to cast it. I'd be really good at that. in 2014, Beautiful won 3 Drama Desk Awards, 2 Tonys, and numerous Drama League and Outer Critic Circle nominations. So it did pretty well at the Tonys. So Jessie Mueller, who was the original Carol on Broadway, she won Best Actress. She was amazing. So good. So very, very good. So that's a bit of the history.
What was the other Tony?
The other Tony was for
sound
design. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, sound design, very popular. Mm.
Yeah. How does that sound? Great.
Yeah.
Great. That's amazing. How that sounds.
It's amazing.
But it was up against a good year that year, because that was the year that we were at the Tonys.
Sorry. What, Julie? Jealous, are we?
Rub it in, like, don't you?
So it
is
was
that
up
not
against
the Aladdin year.
Aladdin, After Midnight, and Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Yeah.
Woof.
Woof.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it's still very exciting that she
still would have given it to After Midnight, but whatever.
Well, yes, that is a story for another day, isn't it?
Or several other days, because we've already had that conversation. Or
After Midnight.
Reprise. Yay.
Actual tears, guys. Cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the history in a nutshell. Yeah.
That's it.
It's not a very old show, so it's only like 5 years
It hasn't been around as long. Carole King has.
Yes.
And this music has, obviously. Well,
not as old as Mozart.
Not many people are, Julie, as old as Mozart.
It's also a little bit dead, but that's okay. That's fine.
What?
This is a jukebox show more in the sense of Jersey Boys than, say,
very much so.
A Mamma Mia, where Mamma Mia has created a story and tried to shoehorn the songs in.
Yeah, it's a biography
for the characters.
Show.
Because it's a biopic show, it's sort of the songs that appear are mostly appearing, would you say, in the context of
absolutely.
Them being
like
written and
she's
performed.
Telling the story chronologically, so like how everything is happening and it's written in that way, I think, on purpose rather than Mamma Mia type nightmare.
That's just
show.
Why it works. Is, well, the structure is
the line that Jersey Boys treads is that in between of, yes, some of them are, some of the music is included as a performance of the song because they were a group who performed songs, but some of the songs were included in a character development way.
Well, with Beautiful, a lot of the songs were staged where you would see Carol and Jerry sitting at the piano and writing them, and then halfway through it would transition and then the performers, like the Shirelles, would come on stage and then sing it as it was originally released back in the 70s. So it was done in a way where it was like a 50-50, this is how it was written and then this is the finished product.
This is the performance.
Yeah.
But they weren't sort of trying to force, this is what the song meant to the characters in the story.
They did that a little bit because, especially with Pleasant Valley Sunday, that was after Carol and Jerry had a little bit of a wedded issue. Yeah, so he cheated a little bit, just a little bit. And she was like, right, we're going to move out to the suburbs. So them transitioning from moving to the city to the suburbs, she sings Pleasant Valley Sunday. So it's kind of what she was feeling at that time, but obviously it wasn't sung by or released by her. Yeah.
Interesting. And let's move on and talk about more about the story of Carole King. musical Julie, tell us about the story of Carole King.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Act one.
Let's do it.
It's a real story inspired by, based on.
Ooh, yeah. So we start with Carole King.
Really? Is she in this?
Barely. 1971.
That was early. It's back in the day, wasn't it?
So it starts with her singing So Far Away, and it's a little snippet, and it's like, here she is, welcome to Carnegie Hall, boom, this is happening. Then immediately flips back to 1958 in Brooklyn, and a 16-year-old Carole tells her mother, Jeannie, she's going to Manhattan to try and sell a song to the music publisher, Donny Kirshner. Kirshner.
We're so good with names on this show.
I know.
Once more with confidence, Kirshner.
Kirshner.
Sorry, Donnie.
Which, like, ballsy move at 16. I wish I had that kind of
16.
16-year-old
girl. Or 17, either one.
Take it up with Wiki. In the long tradition of mothers.
Drunk mothers? Regular mothers.
Regular-ish. Jeannie is opposed to her daughter's wish, and in the equally long tradition of teenagers not caring about their mother's opinion, Carole goes anyway. At 1650 Broadway, she hears the 1650 Broadway melody. Or we hear.
That makes sense now. Because looking at the titles of the tracks, I was like, why have they got a Broadway medley from 1650 when Broadway hadn't.
It's the address of the recording studio. Like
the year 1650. You're like,
that is going to be some.
These songs are older than I thought.
Ye old.
There's
tunes.
A lot of harpsichord in this pop. It's weird.
Yeah.
She then sings one of her new songs, It Might Rain Until September. And Donnie says he will take it and hopes she has others. Oh, I'm so jealous. Anyway. At Queen's College, Carole meets a handsome young lyricist named Jerry Goffin. It's Goffin.
Yep.
They agree to collaborate musically and romantically, which in both cases turns out to be a fertile arrangement.
That's interesting wording.
I know.
I'm gonna need a little less subtext from you, Julie.
She's literally...
Just stick to the script.
I am.
Yeah.
Sticking to the script.
With no subtext.
That I'm not.
Subtext by Calvin Klein.
When they go to Donnie's to play the new song, Carole confesses to Jerry that she's pregnant. See? Subtext. Jerry asks her to marry him, and it gives an extra depth of feeling when she sings their new song for Donnie, Some Kind of Wonderful, which the Drifters then record.
The Drifters... stole their love song.
No, I think they sold it to them. So it's all like right, okay. dollar bills. Then,
yeah.
I think that was the whole arrangement.
Okay.
They get an office at 1650. And while there, Carole meets a new lyricist, Cynthia Wow, who's looking for a composer to work with. Jerry and Carole sing their new song, during which Barry Mann, the composer with the office next door, enters. Barry meets Cynthia and they decide to collaborate. As they begin to work, sparks fly, and Donnie tells them he needs a new song for the Shirelles. The couple complete the job. Winky face.
No winky face necessary.
It's written here.
Is it?
No. In Donnie's office the next morning, Carole and Jerry present Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, which, by the way, I have sung at a wedding. And I think it's inappropriate.
It's a weird choice.
No, oh, really? It's inappropriate. I know it's inappropriate.
Yikes.
They're like, it's our song.
Are they still
like,
married?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm like, it's probably not the song you want for your song. Just rethink that, guys. Listen to the lyrics. Get back to me. Cynthia and Barry perform He Sure Is the Boy I Love, and Donnie picks Carole and Jerry's song for the Shirelles, and it goes to number one.
Yeah. Woo-hoo!
Hence sparking a competition between the two couples. The two teams turn out an amazing parade of songs, like a seriously amazing parade of songs.
Which we'll get to later, I'm sure.
Yeah. Jerry and Carole are at the taping of a TV special where their new song, One Fine Day, is being performed by the dazzling Janelle Woods. During a break, Jerry confesses to Carole that he is restless in their marriage. Sorry, I feel sick even saying it.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's nasty. He wants to sleep with Janelle and he doesn't want to lie about it. Carol is stunned. And so, and the song, as the song begins, she takes it over and sings it herself. That part, point in the show,
Like your husband is just like, I don't want to cheat on you. I want to be really upfront about it. This is the situation. Like she's heartbroken.
Yeah. I'm going to cheat on you, but I'm going to tell you about it because I'm not a lying.
I'm going to tell you exactly who as well. Yeah.
So that one there. Right there.
That one. That one. Singing your song,
singing your song that you wrote. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
She's got pretty face, hey.
One fine day.
It's on.
Awful. End of act one.
End of act one. Act two. Carol's in the recording studio.
I'm sorry, pardon me, I have a question. Where is the entr'acte? Where's the overture? Moving on.
Well, Carol, I'm reading the overture plot, so
Good point.
Carol is in a recording studio doing a demo of Chains and Jerry is off with Janelle but tells her he will meet her later.
Oh, thanks.
Nick, a guitarist, asks Carol to come and sing at the Bitter End sometime, but she's like, nah, thanks. She's a songwriter, not a singer. Beg to differ.
Lies. Gonna change.
The thing with Jerry is getting her down, so she goes and talks to Cynthia, who's also having trouble with Barry, and they split up. Mm-hmm. Carol decides to tell Jerry he has to end the affair with Janelle. As she leaves, Barry comes in. He and Cynthia make up and play their new song, Walking in the Rain.
Aww.
Jerry shows up, but he's not making sense. He eventually has a breakdown. That is also a chunky, like a clunky part of the show. Questions are to be had.
Definitely.
Yeah. At the hospital, he tells Carol he will end the affair with Janelle and that he wants to come home. She suggests they make a new start and move to the suburbs, which is, as you said before,
Pleasant Valley Sunday.
So gorgeous. So gorgeous. Barry, Cynthia and Dottie come to see the new house and Barry plays their new song, We Gotta Get Out of This Place.
Top tune.
Depressed that he and Carol can't do as well, Jerry leaves in a funk for the city.
Oh.
Sounds like a Brenda Carr when you say it like that, doesn't it?
Leaves in a funk. I just flips his hair, throws his bat and ball and goes home.
While he's gone, it comes out that Barry and Cynthia have seen him with another woman, a singer named Marilyn Wald.
God.
I know.
He's the worst.
Keep it in your pants. Carol goes to Marilyn's apartment and Jerry is there. It's the final straw and she ends their marriage full stop. At the Bitter End where Barry and Cynthia hear their song Uptown, Carol explains she went to Los Angeles for a vacation and has started writing on her own. Nick, the guitarist from the studio who asked her to sing with his group, is playing there and urges her to sing. Guess what, guys?
She does.
She sings.
Woo!
And she was good.
She sings her new song, mm-hmm. It's Too Late. She decides to move to Los Angeles. At 16:50, she says goodbye to Donnie, Barry and Cynthia and plays them a parting present. You've got a friend.
Is this like, you got a friend in me?
No. Oh, no.
Not Toy Story.
You've got a friend. That one.
In me.
Oh, good Lord.
Surprisingly.
Disney nerds.
It's not the song from Toy Story.
No. Okay. Just had to check.
Surprisingly, there's no reference to her great friend, James Taylor, in the show, who did backing vocals on Tapestry and had a huge hit with that song. In Los Angeles, she records her album Tapestry. The session goes well until the last song, which she's afraid to sing. It's a song she wrote with Jerry and she's afraid of the feelings it may stir up.
Oh, no.
Her producer, Lou Adler. Oh my God, like Grace Adler.
Just the same.
Persuades her. She sings Natural Woman. The album is a smash. Carol is at Carnegie Hall for her concert. This is the concert we see at the beginning of the show.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Full circle, kids.
Before the show starts and Jerry knocks on her dressing room door, he has brought her a good luck present but has something even more valuable, an apology for all the ways he hurt her. With a full heart, he wishes her well. Carol comes onto stage of Carnegie Hall alone. She sits at the piano, then with all the joy inside her, she sings Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yay.
Curtain call. I feel the earth move
under my feet.
That's it. Songs That's so the catchy. Story of Carole King in musical form.
Jeez.
Yay.
It's got some characters. It's got some fun tunes. Let's talk about the fun tunes. Alrighty, so all of the songs you've heard before, even if you don't know they're Carole King songs, you've heard them. This is, as we said, a jukebox musical. It's mostly her stuff, except for the stuff in that medley, which is like little teeny tiny bits of about, would we say, 1 billion songs? I feel like there's like two words from each song and that keeps but moving on.
I also forget that that's not how the that songs song go. Goes. Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, I hear poison ivy, poison ivy. Take out the papers and the trash. Yeah. In my head, that's how I think poison ivy
same,
goes.
It's the same show. Yeah, same song. It's all good. So let's talk through them. So Far Away is Carole King's opening number performed by her. As you said, this is a performance of the song in a performance context. And we're going to swing back around to that context at the end of the show. So that's followed by Oh Carole, which is a Neil Sedaka number, which is not on the original Broadway cast album but does appear in the show. The 1650 Broadway medley that we were just talking about, followed by Carole King singing It Might As Well Rain Until September. This is, as you said in the synopsis, the one that she sings to convince the producer
Donnie.
So it's like the first song that she sells.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the one that began it all. Bebopalula, a bit of an ensemble number. There aren't too many of those in the show, really. But there it is. Also not on the original cast or recording. Some Kind of Wonderful, Carole King, Jerry, and then taken on by the Drifters.
So this is one of those ones that starts out with them writing it, yeah, going into and then the going performance. Into
the performance, the starting their romance,
the people who made it.
Yeah.
Happy Days Are Here Again, which is a really cute listen. It's not the real lyrics of the song, and she plays that up in the
trying to get a job.
It's really cute. Take Good Care of My Baby, Jerry and Carole having a sing song, followed by Who Put the Bump. In the bump, shibop, shibop. Is that yeah. Is that the bump we're talking about?
Yeah, that's yeah. The bump.
Yeah. Will you still love me tomorrow? Carole sings that one. And then Cynthia and Barry sing He's Sure the Boy I Love. Then we have a few performances by other groups who made songs big. Will You Love Me Tomorrow Again? Up on the Roof. And then On Broadway. It's a song.
Better than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, but better.
All right. Followed by that big hit for Kylie Minogue, The Locomotion.
Originally by Eva, that's fine.
Originally covered by Little Eva and the ensemble in the show. But of course, written by Carole King. For those of you who didn't know, that is not the magic wonder of Kylie.
No.
No, she just stole it.
She just made a crap load of money off it.
Her magic and wonder is golden. Hot pants, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what she's given to the world.
In the early 2000s, yeah. Thanks.
You've lost that love and feeling. I've just turned it into a country song by Dolly Parton, but it was actually sung by Barry and also the Righteous Brothers. Which brings us to One Fine Day, Janelle, backup singers, and Carole in the show, taking us to Interval. Act two starts with Chains.
But where is the entr'acte? Where is the overture?
It's not here. Walking in the Rain, Barry and Cynthia, Pleasant Valley Sunday, Marilyn, Jerry and Ensemble.
Ooh.
Marilyn.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. So So they sell that to her. She performs it. And ironically, full circle, she's the one that eventually ends their marriage.
Ooh. That sucks. But it's also some excellent foreshadowing in the scripting there. We gotta get out of this place, sung by Barry. There's another reprise of Will You Love Me Tomorrow, sung by Carol. And then we get Uptown, sung by, according to this list, the Uptown Singer and Ensemble.
Big credit.
Yeah.
Huge cred.
Whoa.
Look, I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah, so would I, to be honest.
It's too late. You've got a friend. No, different song. You've got a friend. All our main players in on that one. And then we go back to that, the full circle concert performance at Carnegie Hall. You make me feel like a natural woman, Carole King. Followed by beautiful Carole King and company. And then she ends it off with, I feel the earth move and my feet.
It's like the curtain call song. It's the best.
So,
because you can't end on the actual ending, but yeah, you can't not have
beautiful
that beautiful
as you feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need
if
to
you had to pick a favorite, what would it be?
Oh,
the beautiful.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
No.
That's my pick.
You've got to get well up and the best.
The best.
I don't think it's my favorite though.
Really?
Well, what's your favorite?
I actually really like the 1650 Broadway medley.
Yeah.
None
it
of which were written
happy
by Carole King. Cool, 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 cool,
sorry about it, Carol, but
I really appreciate the cute treatment that they gave Happy Days Are Here Again.
Aw. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's adorable.
Yeah. Because it, particularly in a show where you expect to have heard the entire thing.
Yeah.
It actually literally plays on these are not the lyrics that you were expecting to hear. Say that. And so you'd listen to it differently than the familiarity of everything else.
Yeah. So it's not so much about nostalgia. It's about experiencing something new.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So I like that. It's a 12-piece orchestra, keys, bass, drums, percussion, a couple of reeds and horns. And ideally, the performer playing Carole King plays the piano live, which the London Carol did do, but Jessie Mueller actually took piano lessons so that she could reasonably accurately mime the piano playing. So Carol plays a lot on stage. Kind of, you know, it's a lot like the Peter Allen role in that sense. They're ideally you want them to be able to play with the orchestra live, but mostly probably doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's so good to watch though.
So good. So good.
Loved it.
A lot of people who saw it, particularly around sort of my mother's age group, which is the original fans of these songs, really loved it, like went for the music and then really loved it for the story.
The presentation, yeah.
And I think even people who didn't grow up with that music particularly would know a lot of these songs.
Mm.
But and I think a lot of these biography musicals suffer from that problem, is like you get people going for the music, but you don't get a lot of the story from like the soundtrack. So if you can't see it on stage and see the story, you don't fall in love with it the way that you do with something like Hadestown, where the story is told through the songs more explicitly than something like Carole King has written these songs and we're applying them to tell you about her life. But without the bits that connect it together, you have no context. So it's just, the soundtrack doesn't sell the musical like the show does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, on their own, the songs are standalone hits.
Yeah.
Then you add in the element of the story and the musicality of the show. It's just awesome. It's just so good.
It's that connection of the book giving the songs more meaning.
Yeah.
Mm.
But
context, guys.
Yeah. Context. Woo. Anyway, let us move on and talk a little bit more about who has been in the show. And then we might see if we can put a few people in the show ourselves.
Oh, I live for this.
Hey, Zane,
who's
played Carole King in the Carole King musical?
Jessie Mueller.
Who else?
Queen.
Katie Braben.
Who else?
Abby Mueller.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She was in the first US tour cast as Carol.
Correct.
They went related? Sisters?
Sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cute story.
They look really similar too. It's scary.
Nana Mizuki?
Oh, no way.
I don't know that person.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Also, Ayaka Hirahara.
Sorry, yeah, in the Japanese cast.
Again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Good job. Who else?
Bronte Barbe.
Oh, yeah. Good personal friend of mine. Mm-hmm.
Esther Hannaford.
Yes, I do know her.
Queen. So good.
She was the best thing about King Kong.
She was.
You know what the worst thing about King Kong was?
King Kong?
The music?
No, the King Kong itself was great.
The puppet is awesome.
Particularly that one song when it all came out in Dominatrix gear. King Kong, King Kong.
That anyway, was not what they were singing.
That was pretty much what they were singing.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway.
No, whatever. It's all about how you have to be a real woman now, and a real woman includes being a dominatrix, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
I have been womaning.
Yeah, you're right.
There
was a different song. It was later when that came out. Yeah. They were doing the, like,
we were not CC'd in on that.
No, no. I didn't get that. Sorry. I
didn't get that memo. Anyway, let's not talk about that. We're talking about beautiful.
The only other one is the second US tour cast, which is Sarah Brockle.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I hope she
I think she's still currently playing Carol.
On the tour?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And do we know how many of these lovely, talented women played their own piano?
We don't. We don't know how many. We know.
I think it was only Katie.
Yeah. We know Katie Braben did, notably. So I would say that most of them did not.
No, okay.
Because I think it would be Katie Braben and these other people played their own piano.
Esther mimed, but yeah. It was brilliant. I sat in the front row because my crazy friend bought tickets 6 months beforehand. I was like, yeah, I was sitting in the front row. And we were behind the pianist and there was a camera above the piano that Esther was playing at. And how it would work is he would kind of watch the video screen and try and match
what she
so,
was doing.
Yeah, so she wasn't following the pianist. The pianist was following her.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch because like I was trying to watch the show on stage, but I kept looking at the pianist because he's watching the video of her fingers. I'm like, oh, that is so cool.
So she could play the music without having to hit the right notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Essentially.
Oh, she was pretty good. It was like 90% matchy-matchy. It was amazing.
I mean, I guess the problem with a live music yeah. on stage is that like you're playing with the rest of the band that you can't see to cue from. So that's my worry would be.
But I would think a lot of the I haven't seen the show obviously, but a lot of the beginnings of these songs that start with her
are just the piano.
With the piano,
and then the conductor
then
was sitting next to the pianist,
in.
And he'd kind of.
I did a show where the lead played piano on stage.
The boy from Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was pretty impressive.
That's very exciting.
They worked it out and he was, Brad Rush is a pianist and.
That helps.
An amazing pianist. So.
And it's not that they're like learning the full first keys part.
No.
They're doing.
He's a bit of it. Pieces. Continue first keys. Enjoy. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to hop up and sing.
Yeah.
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 It was good. I could do that. No, I couldn't.
I like cannot sometimes piano. Think if I could do that. I'm like, I can piano a little bit, but like how much could I really piano?
I can't even fake piano. I can't even like convincingly fake piano when you can't see my hands on the keys. Like if you're looking
I would forget
over
to move
the,
my hands.
The back of the piano. It's that whole thing about getting your body weight in the right place that it looks like you're playing.
I was chosen in Boy From Oz to play the female repertoire chicky. Because I could fake play piano.
Oh, good Lord.
The repetiteur.
The repetiteur, that's what I meant. The repetiteur. Yeah.
You missed out a toot.
You needed an extra toot in there. Anyway, we've gone off track. Zane, who else has been in the show?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what other roles you're particularly interested
in. I'm interested in literally all of the roles.
So we'll go Jerry, who was originated by Jake Epstein. And then Alan Morrissey on West End. Then we'll go straight to the Australian cast, which was Josh Pitterman.
Yeah, he was good.
He was delightful.
But I hated him because he was Jerry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Cynthia Weil was Anika Larsen on Broadway. Lorna Want on West End. And then in Australia, Amy La Palma. Barry Mann, Jared Spector on Broadway. Ian McIntosh on West End, and Matt Verivis in Australia.
He was amazing.
Mm?
So good. He won the Helpman.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Award winning.
Congratulations, yes. Matt Varavis.
Congratulations, Matt.
Like, honestly, like, do you want me to go down to
no.
Righteous Brother Nick?
Yes, please. Specifically just Nick the Righteous Brother.
Nick, well, it's Righteous Brother.
Oh, God.
Slash Nick.
Also, Nick wasn't one of the Righteous Brothers. Well, then I'm not interested.
So the Righteous Brothers, I don't think they played a specific Righteous Brother. They were just part of the act that was called the Righteous Brothers.
Okay.
And Nick, right, Josh Davis on Broadway.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing.
But really, there is only one role in this that's like essential. Like we spoke about Sweet Charity last week, and that's you have other roles in that, but like Carole King is this musical.
Mm.
Everything in it is Carole King. So
it's interesting to look at the women who have played the role too. They don't all look alike. They don't all look like Carole King.
It's amazing what wigs can do, hey? Yeah.
So how much of their performances really do you think are mimic and research, and how much of them are themselves?
That's
an open question.
Yeah, I don't think I know that they're different because you see promotional clips and YouTube clips of the different actresses performing as Carole, and they are quite distinct.
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about Carole King as a person to really know what she is like.
Well, she did perform with the cast. She played, what did she play? You've Got a Friend. Mm. It must have been on Broadway.
Yeah, April 2014, I think it was.
Yeah. So it would have been interesting to see her together with Jesse Mueller. Like, did they sing together? Would that have been cute?
God, I would have loved
they did that at the Marina. Twins, didn't they?
Oh, will YouTube it.
All right. Is that
all right?
You're
moving on.
Do you need anything else?
No, I don't need anything else. All Let's right. move on already. Come on. We've got casting to do. All right, so who do we want to see as Carole King? I would like to see Carole King.
Mm. As Carole King.
As Carole King.
This is a really hard one because you're saying, who do you want this famous person to be played by another famous person?
Yeah. I can put this out there. I don't have great suggestions for Dreamcast on this.
I don't either.
It'd be interesting though, like, because the very start of the show, Carole King is 17. The real Carole King is currently like 75 or 76.
They've both got sevens in them.
That will be interesting to see. Like the magic of a wig, guys.
Magic of a wig and some Hollywood day.
Yes. Lord in hell.
Serious.
But yeah, because all these characters are real people, it's and recent real people. Real people who are still alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah. It's very difficult to think, oh, you know, I'd love to see whoever play.
You know who you would love to see, though?
Who? Zac Efron?
As Jerry.
He's on my list.
Oh, you've got a list?
As?
Yes. Jerry.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the guest has a list.
And she's currently being touched by Miranda.
I would like to hear your list, Carly.
Okay. Well, Carole, I think Jesse Mueller is the absolute best choice.
She is.
She was amazing, and the casting director just nailed it. Esther Hannaford was incredible as well. You're going to hate me, but I think Sutton Foster would be a very interesting choice. Very interesting choice.
I don't
choice.
Hate you.
No, Miranda Julie would, though. Hate Julie you. Would.
How much tap dancing does Carole King do in the show?
Literally none.
No, it's like.
Yet.
Actor singer.
How much of.
Yes.
How much of beautiful a Carole King story is actually about Sutton Foster? Because that's how it's. Gonna get played.
No, shush.
Jokes. I really like Younger, by the way, guys.
Oh, one of my favorite
shows. It's a great
choice.
TV show.
I think Kelly O'Hara would be a really good choice as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, yes. I think she'd be very good. My Jerrys of choice were Zac Efron, of course.
Duff. Of course.
You know, I'm sitting in this room, so. I think Jeremy Jordan would be really good as well. Yeah. Maybe in like. I think he'd be a good age.
Yeah,
now.
I still think he's a bit young, but
yeah, I was thinking maybe five, 10 years or so.
Should be right.
Or Aaron Tveit would be good as well.
Stop.
Yeah.
But continue.
Yeah. And my mom of choice for Jeannie would be Caroline O'Connor, just because.
Thank you.
Yeah, she can like act the heck out of anything, and she's really fun to watch on stage.
She is.
Ugh. Ugh, I want to be her.
Very quick role.
I always feel safe in the room with Caroline.
Yeah. Never disappointed.
No, never. Absolutely not. That's pretty much, yeah, I didn't really think too deep into it because, I mean, a lot of the ensemble roles like Cynthia and Barry could be played by lots of different people.
I think, and because you've got like all these famous, like the Shirelles and the Righteous Brothers and whatever, I think if they can sing and hold that style, then see, I think this musical, it would be an interesting one to put the cast of any other musical and find their place in this musical.
Yeah.
So if you took like the current cast of Wicked or Hamilton and put them in this one, Hamilton's probably not a good one because of the lack of women. But you know, and
Peggy kind of will play Carol King.
But yeah, like I don't really have any strong choices for this. My only Jeannie would be Audra. So,
you're just trying to get on our Zac Efron bandwagon with your Audra McDonald.
I really like
Audra McDonald.
Yeah. She's the best.
Well, maybe like our listeners have got some more ideas. Feel free to throw them at us. You can tweet us at Musicals Teach Me. You can post or PM us on Facebook. Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. Let us know if you would like a full cast list, including ensemble, if you want to provide like 25 names.
Tell us what you think.
Then you can email musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. We're going to give you some more information about how you can find us on the web later. But for now, let's talk top fives. Do we put this beautiful The Carol King musical on top five biopic musicals?
Heck yes, we do.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, then let's do that.
I put it on top 10 jukebox musicals.
Oh, we top 5 jukebox musicals.
I'm sorry, I'm drunk.
Oh, good Lord, who invited you? Top 5 true stories.
Ooh. Like top 5 true crime stories?
Nobody gets murdered.
Miranda's drunk.
It's a different podcast.
Sorry.
Top 5 female leads? It's a really strong film. Yeah,
all of these are like really good lists. Yeah. And like Beautiful's a good show, but like that's going to be a fight.
Top five non-fictional female leads. Yes.
Okay, now we're getting really specific, but I'm okay. I'm about lists? It.
Top five Carol King musicals. How specific do you want to go?
Lord.
Top 5 musicals with a curly wig.
No, you can't do it.
Yeah,
Annie Carol takes King. All 5 Annie. Of those.
Annie's the worst though, so no, it doesn't.
Isn't Annie deleted?
I hope so.
I think one person has deleted Annie.
Okay, good.
Well, it doesn't count until it's done 10 times. Surely.
Come on, people.
Just getting there. I would say top 5 Jessie Mueller performances.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I really enjoy her as Carol.
Me too.
She's also a very good Jenna Hunterson, so
it's top 5.
It's 5. You've got five places to play with.
Okay, fine.
It doesn't need to be top 1, but I really enjoy Jessie Mueller as Carol.
Yeah, and she did win the Tony for it, so.
Yes, yeah. She did.
Okay,
you can have that.
I'm vindicated.
She's amazing.
Julie, would you like to put the 1650 Broadway medley on your top 5 pop song medleys in a musical?
No.
That's very specific. I can't think of another one.
But yes.
I'm sure there's one in.
There'd be one in Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys.
We'll find out shortly.
When we do Jersey Boys, keep your eye out or ear out for the Jersey Boys episode coming your way soon.
Yoo-hoo.
Anything else? Top fives.
Nah, I'm out.
Top 5 actor playing an instrument on stage, maybe.
Maybe.
Yep, sure.
Top 5 terrible husbands.
Oh.
The worst.
Top 5 cheating poop heads.
I think there are
more terrible husbands though.
Carousel, anyone?
Oh, okay.
Wild Party.
Oliver.
Oh.
They're not married.
They will be.
Les Mis.
Sweeney Todd.
Also not married.
Wow.
Sweeney Todd is married and he is not nice to his wife.
He does kill
her. He does kill her a little bit.
Yeah. But he didn't know.
He doesn't know it's his wife.
Yeah, but still.
So he's not a bad husband.
He didn't bother to check.
He's a husband. He's bad. He kills his wife.
Okay, just, I think we've gone off topic.
I think he's top of the list. Maybe Jerry's five.
What I'm going to say is Jerry's not a great guy, but I don't think he's top five bad guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you there. And on that note, let us move on to the lessons we've learned from Beautiful. So what lessons have we learned from Beautiful, the Carole King musical?
The obvious.
We learned about the life of Carole King.
Yeah.
And Cynthia.
Barry and Jerry.
It is also illuminating, apparently, to a lot of people as to the
how much she did write.
Yeah, the proliferation of her music.
And how many hits she wrote for other people.
I hear the music and go, oh, I had no idea she wrote that. Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah.
Just from now on, assume she's written everything if it's good.
That's look, fair call. I'd agree that. Like, I mean, we got to get out of this place. I had no idea that she wrote that. So
it's such a broad range of styles, really, like within a genre. But
oh, she didn't write that song.
No, Barry and Cynthia did.
Redacted.
We'll take it back. It'll be fine. She also didn't write all the songs in the 1650 Broadway medley.
Any of them. Mm. But it's still a really good medley.
Yeah. No, I'm just.
Hence why it's my favorite song.
I think this musical really kind of signified the, I don't want to say worthiness, but like the possibility that a biographical musical can have artistic merit, because we have had a lot of them through the years, but this one like really hit, and we've had a lot more come on after it. There's almost every year there's a new musician having a biographical musical made out of it.
Like the Cher Show.
Which hopefully we'll talk about at some point.
The Gloria Estefan musical.
When Cher comes to talk about it with us.
Yeah, I'll be. Standing invitation.
We cannot afford Cher.
I'm not saying we're paying her.
Just the wig budget alone.
She will just love our show so much. She will want to be part of it.
Ah, yeah. So she'll donate the wigs.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
She just need wigs. I'm so confused.
We do.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. What else have we learned?
Pick yourself up after a terrible, terrible breakup.
Write a song about it.
Yeah. Get your feelings out on paper. Well, not all men. But
Hashtag not all men.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something about all men.
All men are amazing.
No, people are trash.
Some men are trash. People are trash. You know what? In general, because like there is that dynamic between Cynthia and Barry, and like, they fight, fight and fight. And people, it's not just men. Some people are trash. And that's the way it is.
I learned that You've Got a Friend is a different song to You've Got a Friend in Me.
I learned that some songs have similar titles to other songs.
Yay. A lot of people learned that Locomotion wasn't sung by Kylie Minogue.
Yes. Well done, everyone.
It wasn't written by Kylie Minogue anyway.
I mean, she could try, but no.
Anything else?
I think it's
fairly obvious. Like, here's the story of Carole King. That's what you learn.
Yeah, it isn't strong on like morals. It's really just telling her story and kind of.
It's a biography,
but it doesn't very have to honest be because too. It is entertaining.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the music is great, and she's a very likable person. So I think that is. What are you looking at me like that?
I'm not.
While Julie makes more fun faces, why don't we wrap this up?
Yes.
So thank you very much to Carly Skelton.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for bringing us Beautiful. It was fun to talk about.
Oh, it's fun to be here. Enjoy it? Definitely.
Yeah.
It was definitely a fun one to listen to.
Yes. Yeah. I did enjoy that.
I'm going to listen to it on the car on the way home.
Yeah.
Mm. Good choice. Good choice. Good choice.
Really hype myself up before bed.
Because it's not one of the things that I'm like, I'm going to go listen to Beautiful today.
I've listened to it at work. I have put it on at work.
Well, of course.
The dogs love it.
They do.
Spotify now knows that I like to listen to it, so it'll just bring it up automatically now, which is great.
I did. I was at first listening on Spotify, and I don't have Spotify Premium. I really should get it.
How do you do this show without having Spotify Premium?
Lord. Well, when I select a show and I hit play on my phone device, I only have the option of shuffle play. So it will play a couple of songs from the show and then it will give me other things that are similar. And some of the choices that Spotify thinks are similar to Carole King's Beautiful.
Questionable.
Very questionable.
Agreed. I have more questions for you, Miranda.
Anyway, if you're listening to us right now on Spotify, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Cheers,
rate and review. Share with your friends. Just put one of them linky loos on the Facebook or your own personal social media.
Thanks, Grandma.
On the
interwebs.
You can find us at our home on the net. That's not canonproductions.com, along with all of our other associated network podcasts. I gave you all the details before of our socials. Here they are again really quickly. Facebook.com, Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. Twitter at Musicals Teach Me. Email us at musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. I have turned into a robot. Thank you for listening.
Oh,
if you would like to throw us a few dollars a month for some extra episodes and fun stuff, more top fives, random things all the time, patreon.com/musicalstaughtmeeverythingiknow. We really appreciate your support so we can keep bringing you more episodes and more fun stuff. So thank you for being a listener. Thank you for being a patron. Thank you for being a lover of musicals. Thank you, Carly, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Oh, does she?
Do you?
Do you?
This will come out late January.
I'm in Next to Normal at Brisbane Arts Theatre.
I thought you were going to say Beautiful, the Carole King.
No. Oh, I wish. No, I could not sing like that, but that's fine. If you do want to see me sing and act on stage, I'm Next to Normal, Brisbane Arts Theatre. We open on the 23rd of February. Come down and see. It's going to be amazing.
Yay. That is another great fun show full of Carole King songs.
Look, I would say neither of those things are correct. Next to Normal's not terribly a fun show. It's educational, that's for sure.
But it is a great show. Why are we doing an episode on Next to Normal sometime in the future?
In this year, we do have someone booked in for Next to Normal.
Booked in, so look out for that
one. I will listen to that.
Thank you to my co-hosts at the table today.
Julie Eisentrager.
Zane Seweber.
My name is Miranda Selwood. Thank you for listening. We love musicals and we love you. Aww. Have a great day.
Bye.